Well, guys, thank you again for being here today. How many of you have ever counted on somebody to do something they said they would do and they just kind of let you down? Anybody? Okay. Have you ever let somebody down? You said you would do something and you didn't do it. So you weren't being faithful to what your word was. We're going to be looking at another aspect of the fruit of the Spirit today. We're going to be looking at faithfulness. Our reading actually comes from Galatians, Paul's letter to the Galatians. It's in chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. And it says this, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And against such things there is no law." Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You know, when we first think of faithfulness, I grew up in the Methodist church and we had a hymn book and we would sing out of the hymn book. And one of the hymns that we sang was, "Great is your faithfulness." Okay? And we were talking about God's faithfulness. So sometimes when we think about faithfulness, one of the first aspects that kind of comes to us about faithfulness is God's faithfulness to us. God is faithful to do what he says he's going to do. God is faithful to act in the way that he says he's going to act. God never changes. Oh, sometimes we probably want God to change, but God does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And I'm using every Christian cliche that I know, right? We've seen all those bumper stickers. We've heard all those things, but it's true. God is faithful to do what God says he's going to do. In fact, the writer in Lamentations says this, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." He's faithful. He will do what he says he's going to do. And we can count on that. He will not let us down. Well, then we might turn our thoughts a little bit to think about faithfulness, about just being obedient to God. Okay, I need to be faithful. I need to open up my devotion first thing in the morning. I need to spend a couple minutes in prayer. I need to do these things. I need to be obedient to God. I need to be faithful, doing what he says to do, following his commands. Being faithful, however, is much more dynamic than that. It doesn't just mean being trustworthy or loyal or faithful. It means being full of faith, faithfulness. It's not just obeying God because he said so. I mean, I grew up where I would say, "Mom, why did you say that? Dad, why did you say that? Or why do you want me to do that?" And what was their answer? "Because I said so." I've used it many times too, right? But it means not following God because he says to follow him in his word. Not just to do these things because he says so in his word. Not just to follow his commandments because he says so in his word. But we are obeying because it's out of our whole spirit. It's what's best for us. And we know that God wants what's best for us. And we just trust and we hope. And we pray that what God is telling us to do, if we are faithful to that, it's going to work out in the end. We put our faith in God and hope in Jesus Christ so that if we faithfully do what he's told us to do out of love for him, we will see the other side of the river. We are faithful to him. The writer of Hebrews says this in chapter 11, "Faith is the assurance of things that are hoped for and the conviction of things not seen." In other words, we are going to be faithful to do this when we may not see it. But we just trust that it's going to happen. So you see, faithfulness is not, "Hey, I'm just going to sit back and I'm just going to be faithful and just say it." No, it's active. It's active. It involves our passions. It involves our spirit. It involves our actions. Paul, in his letters to the Corinthians, says this, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." I think of the Indiana Jones movie where he's in this big cavern and there's this big chasm. And he's like, I don't know what to do. And they said, well, you got to take a step and you got to have faith. So in faith, faithfulness, he takes that first step and all of a sudden this bridge appears. He couldn't see it because of the way the chasm was. And so as he takes a step, he realizes there's a bridge. You have to take the first step. But I don't know. I don't see that. I don't trust that. James puts it this way. Faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Oh, yeah, I got faith. Yeah, I got faith. I believe. I got it. I got faith. Well, what are you doing to let that faith come alive in your life? Because if you're not doing anything and acting on your faith and your faithfulness, it's dead. It's just empty words. Faithfulness is listening to God and then acting on His word. I hear what you're saying, God, and I'm going to act on that. It may be meaning that we hold fast during adversity. Think about Daniel in the Bible. Daniel is captured by the Babylonians. He's there and he's praying every single day. And some people don't like that. So they're telling the king, hey, this Daniel guy that you like, he's not doing what you've asked him to do. And so okay, we're going to throw him in this lion's den. And they throw him in this lion's den. Face in adversity, but Daniel had faith that God would show up and God would be there. It may be doing what God tells us to do, even when it seems crazy. You know, Noah, for example, in the middle of the wilderness, what I want you to do is build this big old boat. And then I'm going to have you fill it with animals. And so he's running around to every Home Depot and Lowe's that he knows trying to find gopher wood. Hey, I need some more gopher wood. I got to build this boat. It's got to be big. And the people are walking around going, you are crazy. What are you doing? There's not even any water around here. What are you doing? It seemed crazy, but yet God used Noah to repopulate the earth. It's crazy. Maybe it means going where God has asked you to go and you think it's kind of silly. Abraham, he tells Abraham, which is amazing because Abraham wasn't even one of God's people at the time. There were no people yet. You know, they weren't, he was from Ur, you know. And so anyway, he gets this message somehow from God that you are going to leave your home, leave your family, leave everything. You're going to go to a place that I'll show you. And through you, I'm going to make a blessing and you are going to be a blessing to the whole earth. To you and to me through Abraham. And so here's this man just kind of stepping out in faith, going where God calls him to go, even though he doesn't know where he's going. Maybe it means loving somebody that we don't necessarily have to love. I think of the story of Naomi and Ruth. Naomi's husband dies, and her sister's husband dies, and Ruth is there, and Ruth finally says, hey, y'all go on back to your home, your people. And her response is, where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God will be my God. Maybe it means loving those that God puts in our path, gives us opportunities to reach out to and to be a part and to pour into their lives. Maybe it just means being trustworthy and faithful what God has blessed you with. Jesus in the book of Matthew, in the Gospel that Matthew writes, he talks about the parable of the talents. He talks about how this wealthy man comes to three of his servants and he gives one 10 talents, another 5 talents, another 1 talent. And he tells them to be faithful with that. And he goes off. And the man with 10 talents, what he does, he invests in it. He's wise with it. He gets 10 more talents, which is a lot of money back in the days. And so when the master comes back, he goes, wow, you turned 10 into 20. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Come and enjoy your master's happiness, right? And so then the next one, he goes, I gave you 3. He goes, you know what? I turned around. I invested it. I did all these things. I got you 3 more. I doubled it. He goes, well done, my good and faithful servant. Come in. And then he looks at the other one, and he says, I gave you 1 talent. What'd you do with it? And he says, well, I knew you were a hard man, so I figured you'd come back one day and I better have this 1 talent, so I buried it. And what does he call him? You wicked servant. Maybe being faithful to God means that we take the blessings and the things that God has given us and we use it. Maybe it just means trusting in the will of God when everything is going against us. In the New Testament, there's a man named Stephen. And Stephen is preaching, and Stephen is in love with the Lord, and the people hate it. And so what they do is they stone him. And as he's dying and being stoned, they say that his face was just bright as he looked up and he saw Jesus. So it's maybe when the world is against us, it's trusting and being faithful that God is going to be there for us. God is in our corner. God loves us. In Romans chapter 4, verse 3, it says this, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. In other words, Abraham believed God. So what does that mean? Well, if you go all the way over to Hebrew 11, it talks about Abraham's faithfulness, his faithfulness. But we have, I think, barriers to our faithfulness. We say we want to be faithful. We say we want to do the things that God has called us to do. But sometimes walking it is difficult, and there are some barriers. And there are two that I just wanted to touch upon today. The first one is, when God calls me to do something, he's not going to make me anxious about it, and it's certainly not going to be difficult. And we believe that. Here's what I've heard some people in the church say. I'm not going to do that because I just don't have a peace about it. Yeah, I think maybe God has placed this on my heart. I've been thinking about it, but I just don't feel that God has told me to do anything on that yet. He hasn't told me to act on that. I just don't have a peace about it. Let me tell you this. When in the Bible did God ever call somebody to do something and make it an easy job? When in the Bible did God ever call anybody and somehow their life wasn't inconvenienced as the way they thought their life was supposed to go? Moses. Okay, Moses grows up in the court of Pharaoh, and he eventually goes out, and he realizes that he's not Egyptian. He realizes, hey, these are my people. And so he goes away, and he's out. God gets a hold of him, and he says, I want you to go to Pharaoh, the most powerful man in the world at the time. I want you to go to Pharaoh, and I want you to go to him, and I want you to stand in front of him, and I want you to tell him, hey, I want you to release your whole workforce. Liberate them. Let them go. Think that was easy? No, Moses even argues with God. Are you sure you mean me? You don't mean my brother Aaron? I stutter. I can't even speak good. You know, he was Southern. And so he's like, go, go. What about David? Here's David, King Saul trying to kill him. King Saul also they're facing this giant, and all of Israel is shaking, and Goliath is screaming. And David goes out with just a sling and a couple smooth stones. Easy? No. What about Esther, Queen Esther? And when you read the book of Esther, here is this genocidal maniac, Haman, that wants to wipe out all of the Jews. And so Esther says, I will go to the king, even though I may lose my life, and I will tell him what's going on. Easy? No. Daniel, we talked about that, thrown in a lion's den. Easy? No. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because of their faithfulness to our God, they are thrown in a fiery furnace. And you could tell it was hot, because as they were stoking the fire to get it hotter, the people that were stoking the fire, a couple of them died. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Jesus were in that fiery furnace. They even looked and said, I thought we put three men in there. I see four. Easy? No. Taking that first step. Jeremiah. God calls Jeremiah and he says, hey, I knew you before I even put you together in your mother's womb. And I have called you to be a speaker and a prophet for me. And then he says, and when you go out, no one's going to listen to you. How do you like that as a job description? Hey, I'm going to give you a job, and I want you to do the job. First off, everybody's going to hate you. No one's going to listen to you, but I want you to do that job. Crazy. Easy? No. Joseph goes from pit to prison to the palace, but in the pit, his brothers don't like him, so he throws him in a pit. Easy? No. God, what are you doing? You've given me these dreams and now I'm in a pit. Well, we're going to get you out of the pit and sell you into slavery. And so he becomes a slave and ends up in Potiphar's house. And he's in Potiphar's house. And then he gets accused of something he didn't do. And he gets thrown in prison. And he's in prison a long time. Easy? No, but he's faithful to what God has called him to do. Have you ever, what about Moses and David and Esther and Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Jeremiah and Joseph? Do you think they looked at it and says, hey, you know what? Thank you, God. I got a piece about that. I got a piece about that. Throw me in that furnace. God, I got a piece about that. Yeah, I'll go stand in front of Pharaoh. God never says, go, because it's going to be easy. Here's what he says. He says, go, and I will be with you. That's our faith. That when we go, when we step out, God is there with us because God is faithful. He calls Noah. He says, I want you to build an ark because the people on the earth are bad. And your family I found to be the only righteous people on the earth. And so what I want you to do is build this boat. I want you to put your family in it. And then you're going to repopulate the earth. And I'm going to give you a sign. And the sign is rainbow. Moses, he tells Moses, I want you to go to Pharaoh and I want you to do all these things. And I want you to liberate the Hebrew people. I want you to liberate my people. And Moses is like, what? So he gives him a sign. He gives him a rod. He says, throw it down on the ground. He throws it down and becomes a snake. Moses backs up. He says, now pick up that snake. So he bends down to pick it up and it's a rod again. He gives him a sign. Abraham, he says, I want you to go and I want you to leave your family and I want you to leave your land and I want you to go to a place that you don't know, but I know. And I want you to go there and through you, the whole world will be blessed. You're going to have so many descendants and the whole world will be blessed for you. And I'm going to give you a sign and the sign is circumcision. And Abraham's like, Noah got a rainbow. Is it easy? No. Peace doesn't come on the other side. Okay, if I get to there, I'm going to have a peace about this. Peace comes when I learn to be faithful to God on this side of my circumstances. To be faithful to Him and to trust in Him. So our first barrier is when God calls you to do something, it's not always going to be easy. The second one, if God calls me to do something, it's always going to be clear. I'll never be confused about it, and I will never have to wrestle with it. Why? God said so, right? Abraham several times is promised to make you will be a blessing to all the nations. Starts off in, and I want you to hear this. It's five times in Genesis. Listen to this. Genesis 12, verses 1 and 2. Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation. Okay? Out of you, Abraham, I'm going to make a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great so that you will be a blessing. Then in Genesis 18, it says this. Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth, that's us, will be blessed by him. In Genesis 22, the promise is, and in your offspring, Abraham, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. You've been faithful. Genesis 26, I will multiply your offspring as the stars of the heaven, and I will give to your offspring all of these lands, and in your offspring all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Genesis 28, your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, to the south, and in you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Abraham, leave your family, leave your home, and go, and all of this is going to happen. And he mostly believes. He leaves. But he's thinking, you know, I'm kind of getting older. I'm Abram, not even Abraham yet. I got Sarai with me, and we haven't had any kids, so let's bring Lot, my nephew, because maybe God is telling me this stuff through, maybe my descendants will come through Lot. And so for Abraham, maybe that's plan B. You know, God has plan A, and he says, maybe Lot, that's plan B, okay? Well, Lot's not it, and they separate. And he's saying, through you, Abraham, over and over and over again. So he says, well, I don't have any kids, so you know what? Here's my servant, Eleazar. I'm just going to give him all my inheritance, and maybe it's through Eleazar that I'll have descendants, or I'll have this stuff. Maybe that's where my inheritance and my blessing and everything will go. So that's, now we're down to plan C. Plan B didn't work out, plan C now, right? Well, Eleazar's not it. So then he's sitting there and they're getting older and he's thinking, God promised me all these things. What's going on? And so Sarah has this idea and she says, hey, why don't you sleep with my maidservant Hagar? And of course, Abraham, sure, why not? And they have Ishmael. All kinds of problems through that. Not only are Ishmael and the Hebrew people fighting and fighting and fighting, but it caused a big rift between Hagar and Sarah, and between Sarah and Abraham. So, you know, it's like, okay, that's plan D. Obviously, that didn't work out for anybody. So then after 24 years, after that first conversation that you were going to be a blessing, Isaac is born. Maybe now the words will become true, except he wants me to sacrifice Isaac, but he says, you know, this is through Isaac is where my inheritance is going to come from. So he's trusting God. He's faithful. And we know the story. The angel stops and he says, thank you. I know you didn't hold anything back. And it's kind of a picture for us that God didn't hold anything back when he gave us Jesus Christ. He offered a sacrifice for us. And so he's saying, like, good, Isaac, way to go. And Isaac and Rebekah get married. No kids. For 20 more years, still no heirs. So in Genesis 25, Abraham marries another woman. You can look this up in Genesis chapter 25. Abraham marries a woman called Keturah, and he has 6 more sons. That's plans E, F, G, H, and I, and J. Okay? Finally, Isaac and Rebekah have Esau and Jacob. And the words given to Abraham so long ago that through you and through your heirs, the world will be blessed, can start to be seen. And then in Hebrews, we see this in chapter 11. It says, to whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. Why do you think God was so ambiguous? Why didn't he just say, okay, here's the plan. It's going to be a while before you have your child, and it's going to be a while before you see this. And it, you know what? You may not even live to see some of these things that are going to take place. But trust me, they're going to take place. Why would God just not tell Abraham and lay it out for him? I think it's because all of us, we grow more when we struggle and when we wrestle and when we puzzle with things and when we make mistakes. We talk about learning from our mistakes. It's there. It's in those moments when we find God to be patient and that he loves us and that he wants the best for us and he is shaping us and molding us as we are faithful to him. He is working and chipping away at us and making us more Christ-like. Abraham was a mess, y'all. But he had enough faith to keep going one step at a time. That's why it says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, by faith, Abraham obeyed. I don't get it all. I've done all these things to try to work it out for you, God. Obviously, they weren't right. But I'm trusting you. We need to seek to be faithful one day at a time, maybe even one moment at a time, one year at a time, one situation at a time. Abraham would grow more through this process than having all the information at the beginning. I mean, isn't that what we wanted for our kids? I mean, if we told our kids how to behave, how to act, how to do everything, and protected them from everything and never allowed them the opportunity to fall or to fail or to experience things on their own, all we've done is created just little robots. Do you love me? Yes, I love you. Why do you love me? Because you do all this for me. And we just do over and over and over. It's our growth takes place as we struggle. Iron sharpening iron. God developing our character through our faithfulness. He's developing our judgments through our faithfulness to Him. And by failing and trying and failing and trying and getting back up over and over again, we find out that's why God is not a God of just one chance. Oh, you blew it. He's not a God of second chances or third chances. He's a God of as many chances as it takes to get it through our thick skulls. He's faithful. And because He's faithful, we can be faithful. And sometimes what we see as barriers or obstacles, well, I think God has placed this on my heart, but somebody else needs to do it because I just don't have a peace about it. We see that as a barrier. Maybe God is using it to grow in us character. Maybe He's teaching us to learn to trust. Oh, wait a minute, I got it. Maybe He's creating love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and maybe self-control. And as we see and are faithful to God, we see the Holy Spirit bearing fruit in our life. Will you pray with me? Father, I just thank You for being faithful. I thank You for being a God that loves us no matter what, that puts up with us no matter what. Father, I pray for us that You would help us to step out in faith, to be more faithful, to follow Your mission, to go into this world and to reach those that need to hear from You, that need to know You, that need to fall in love with You. And as always, Father, we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.